Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not afraid. Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you there.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me. So fuck the world, feed it beans. It's gassed up. If you think you're stopping me, I'm gonna be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No exams or buts, don't try to ask him why, how can he? From infinite down to the last relapse album, he's still sitting. Whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he sits his bowels out of him. Whichever comes first, for better or worse, he's married to the game. Like a fuck you for Christmas, his gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the earth to pull his dick from the dirt and fuck the whole universe.
Words and the rhythm for you to know it's a rap. You said you was king, you lied through your teeth. But as fuck your feelings, instead of getting crowned, you're getting capped. Instead of fans, I'll never let you down again, I'm back. I promise to never go back on that promise. In fact, let's be honest, at last we laughed. CD was aired, perhaps I ran them accents into the ground. Relax, I ain't going back to that now. All I'm trying to say is get back to black cloud. Cause I ain't playing around. It's a game called circling, I don't know how. I'm way too up to back down. Trying to figure this crap out. Thought I had it mapped out, but I guess I didn't. This fucking black cloud still follows me around, but it's time to exercise these demons. These motherfuckers are doing jumping jacks now.
I did it for me. Admittedly, I probably did it subliminally for you, so I could come back a brand new me. You helped see me through, and don't even realize what you did. Believe me, you. I've been through the ringer, but taking too little to the middle finger. I think I got a tear in my eye. I feel like the king of my world. Haters can make like bees with no singers and drop dead. No more peace blingers, no more drama from now on. I promise to focus solely on handling my responsibilities as a father. So I solemnly swear to always treat this group like my daughters and raise.
Pleasure that I have the opportunity of addressing you this afternoon. First of all, I would like to express my gratitude, my admiration for the courage and sense of responsibility of Dr. Irvin Laszlo and the Club of Budapest for issuing the Declaration of Planetary Emergency on behalf of the World Shift 2012. This gathering in that regard represents an unprecedented unprecedented moment in the history of our planet and in the history of modern times. We are being asked to do something monumentally heroic in a very brief span of time, something less than 3.5 years to December 21st, 2012. And what we are asked to do is to create a collective, unified consciousness that is united regardless of our beliefs, our religion, our cultural backgrounds. We're being asked to unite as planetary beings representing the shift to planetary consciousness. As Dr. Laszlo and the Club of Budapest has urgently recognized in their declaration and in the World Shift 2012, the root problem of the plagues all of modern society is the problem of consciousness. We are a highly disorganized and disunified consciousness. And yet, when we look at our globe, we realize that we are one single planetary organism. The time has come now to take responsibility and to unify our consciousness, to realize that only through a unified collective consciousness can we come to a deeper, higher understanding and a genuine resolution of our problems that transcends our political and our national interests, our corporate interests, and looks at what the actual global planetary interest is if we are to survive well into this present century. So it is with the greatest honor and a sense of duty and responsibility that as a global citizen, I take my stand with Dr. Laszlo and the Club of Budapest in making this statement and declaration of planetary emergency. It is my genuine, sincere, heartfelt wish and desire that this moment is communicated around the planet to all beings who have heart and who have understanding, who can say, now is the time to stand up together, now is the time to resolve, to create a unified consciousness, and through that unified consciousness to create the solutions to the problems that now face us. We are at a great shift in our evolution. We are shifting into the planetary mind, the noosphere. We are going through a particular initiatic gate, and now is the time to unify so that we can go in together and through a critical mass mind, a critical minority, that we can trigger that quantum shift in the evolution of our consciousness. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for this opportunity, and may this event have the greatest success on behalf of the spiritual transformation of our species and our planet. Thank you.
20 years ago, in the back offices of Daughters of Isis in Pompano Beach, there were so many of us who used to hang around, and we would discuss the twinkle of awareness that was just beginning to shine out from the harmonic convergence alignment. Dr. Arhuez had completed the Mind Factor and Earth Ascending, the handbooks to it, and certainly handbooks to a lot of what I've tried to build. And it brought up a new awareness for the planetary need to come together for our survival and for the healing of our home, the Earth Mother. Dr. Arhuez was one of the founders of the Earth Day movement back in the late 60s, early 70s. This Friday, and he based everything that he was doing in his interpretations of the Mayan calendar called Dzogchen. And this Friday, on the 28th, the calculation and conclusion of the 13th Baktun, 13 Ahau. Let me repeat that. 13 Ahau is this Friday, the 28th, as calculated by Dr. Carl Johann Kalaman. And it's effectively calling it the end of the long count Maya calendar, Dzogchen, and the beginning of a new age. It's our cosmic birthday, okay? Get a grasp on that. It's our cosmic birthday Friday. Keep it in mind. And it's right on time. and the planet is achieving its unified consciousness. Well, physically, we have it through the internet. We have one now that's ever growing through the need of the 99.9% calling out in the streets right now globally to evolve beyond the greed and money seeking and to heal our people and our planet, to bring back kindness, to reclaim moral values and ethics, to establish sustainability and permaculture in harmony with the good technology we have, the messages of our ancestors. We're rising in revolt, and evolution is the cause. Make no mistake, because the ascension movements, the shamanic enclaves of healers, the covens, the self-help practitioners and life coaches, and all of those who would honestly seek a self-authenticity and harmony of body, mind, and spirit evolution, they're among. But there is this understanding that the desire to be of the 1%, the money-based, primarily self-sustaining under the auspices of prosperity, plenty, fame, I want, becomes a misguided representation of the opportunity manifesting in our communities right before our eyes. The opportunities that so many of us have worked towards and hoped for and dreamed of. The opportunities our indigenous brothers and sisters have held the keys to, telling us was the worldwide awakening, healing our planet, which in turn will heal ourselves and our ever-needfulness. All along they've held these keys. And sometimes I wonder if my community has forgotten that we're the systems busters. We're the vanguard. The 99% are out there dynamically as systems busters, and we belong with them. I know so many of us are. There are teachers among us who are aching to assist and represent the healing of the planet and the elevation of society as it's happening right in front of us right now. We have to look at ourselves honestly, and we have to ask if we're seeking a more better community and planet healed and clean, away from corporate profiteering. Are we looking for some more comfort and more of the illusion of freedom that we've been trained to think money and things bring to us? Are we in alignment with the cosmos? Or are we looking to make deposits into banks that have taken it and spat it back out at the people with little and take what they have? Is this evolution about the whole planet and the family of mankind and humanity's home? Or is it fashioned for a mere 144,000 of special folks? Are there those who will and those who won't make it? You have to show me that one. You have to show me these ascending ones that you're going to tie your souls to and let them tell me. They can tell me that what is happening before our eyes right now is not the evolutionary fracture in time that we've been working for and waiting for, hoping for, sending the light out to make happen. Today I'm coming at it from the blender's actual more preferred point of view, from body, mind, and spirit. You get Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie down there and it gets really misty. So I have two colleagues joining me today. I hope you'll enjoy it. It's Here Be Monsters, Colin, if you want to. And we are in alignment, as always, every damn day with Occupy Wall Street.
Asa, Nick, thanks for listening through all of that. I really appreciate it. I didn't think I could get it out without recording it, so thanks for standing by.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, me too. I thought it was amazing and insightful, and it really welcomed people to think and to feel.
Yeah.
So great about what we're talking about today. So amazing opening.
Oh, thank you. Well, how'd you like that piece I found by Dr. Arguez? It was recorded, 2 years ago, and of course he crossed three or four months back, you know, just before this.
Wow. Wow, you know what? The last thing I expected was to hear him talking. So it was sort of I was like, it caught me for a moment there.
It really does. Now, I know both of you are right there, so resonant with the energy. And, of course, you're a couple of my closest colleagues in my community, as it were. And I'm here every day doing this. And hi, Brian. I see you there in the chat room. Thanks for being here, darling, and all the guests we do have. This is, and I'll get my little spiel out of the way and we can go to talking about it. This is Here Be Monsters. We're on every day in alignment and solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. And it is sponsored by Roundtree7, and that's the number 7.com. Hey, my guests today are Asa Hoffman, who is proper to call you a life coach as well as a healer and a psychic. Yes, Asa?
Sure, that works.
Okay. And Nicole is the star of the I Love Nicole show, currently an internet YouTube phenom. And it's a show about New York City, what's going on, what's cooking there. And she is also my co-host over at Cosmic Comedy Radio. So thanks, Nicole, for coming along today.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn, for having me, and good to hear you, Ace.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice, too.
It's great.
I'm really interested, you guys, in knowing what I'm most especially interested in hearing, because, Asa, you know, you have a way. Nick and I have been talking about this a lot on air, but I haven't talked to you about it, and I was wondering if you would give me your take on just exactly what you're seeing happen here.
You mean with Occupy Wall Street?
Uh-huh, with the whole global phenom, whole thing. From,
I think what's interesting is that what we're seeing is an awakening that is happening on an extremely personal and intimate levels, where I see individuals who are finding their empathic nature is causing them to take responsibility for their feelings and their perceptions and their relationships with others, where they have to recognize that the boundaries that they have are no longer just the outer boundaries that we put out, but also the inner boundaries, where we put our emotions, how we feel, and how we take on other people's feelings. And I see that going from there all the way out into society, that's affecting relationships, families, politics, and society as a whole, where you know, the boundaries between what's happening internally and inside us and what we're feeling and what we're experiencing and our ability to just fall in line, it's becoming more and more difficult. It's becoming more and more important that we find what we authentically feel and that we be acknowledged for it and that we have the right to be seen and that we have the right to succeed. And I think that it's really – go ahead.
Well, you're describing a paradigm shift. You really are, from the personal level or the unique individualized level all the way up into the social strata.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, a lot of people can come, you know, will sit outside of what's happening, let's say, with the Occupy Wall Street and either stand in agreement or against. You know, it's a very easy position to stand in agreement or against while you're outside of it. And yet, I don't think it's about agreeing with it or about being against it at all. It's about recognizing that there is a shift that's happening, and it's happening on every level. And what's happening at Occupy Wall Street is that, in essence, by them, you know, there's this whole argument about what do they want? You know, what are their demands? That there's a problem with what they're doing because they don't have a clear message. And yet I think there is a clear message. And the clear message is that there is something out of balance in our society and on our planet, and we want to imbalance. We want to shift. And it's happening, and it's taking place. And we're not going to let you label it as any one maneuver that you can just sit there and fix for us, and we're all going to go home. Because it's not about fixing something for us. It's about us together making a shift in how we live on the planet and with one another.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
That's well put.
That's what I've gotten from it. And I think that it's you know, I think it's a real challenge to not want to clean it up in your own consciousness, you know, even when if you're in support of it. You know, it's still, you want to be able to clean it up and say, oh, you know what, I can put this here. They deserve this. They're bastards or whatever, you know. And it really, that goes back to a they, which goes to a them and us, which really just takes out the whole cause, what's really happening there, what it's really about, which is not about a them and us. It's about really not living in a society where it's so either you're on the have or the have not.
That was really well said, Asa. I can't agree with you more. thanks, partner. That was good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, I'm just so disappointed as a you know, at 41 years of age, I'm disappointed that I see people still solving things the same way I did on the playgrounds when I was 8 years old. You know, just with bigger guns, bigger weaponry.
Yep.
It's you know, it really bogged my brain down. You know, as a child, it really didn't make sense to me. But as an adult, it really doesn't make sense to me. We work so hard to educate ourselves, to be intelligent. You know, to connect with our loved ones, to build relationships, to have families, to take care of ourselves. And yet, the minute we step outside those boundaries, we will kill the next person next to us with pride and say, "Look at me and see what I can do." We will shove them down, whether that's in a financial competition, a physical, you know, violent competition, whatever way. We're so willing to do it from the namesake of you know, our loyalties, whether that's our loyalty, you know, to our government or to whatever, or to profit. It's like that's our righteousness. Oh, I'm taking care of my family. But you know what? If we're not taking care of each other in our society, we're not taking care of our family. Because if we haven't seen it yet, folks, we're not going to be able to live and exist if we don't learn to take care of our family as a whole. And our family is our planetary brethren.
Yeah, and Asa, I have to say that I've been watching The Tudors, which is the story of Henry VIII, and I'm up to his sixth and final wife, and the whole story with Mary, his daughter, who was such a staunch Catholic. I just watched last night. She said, you know, the country's going into a Protestant way in 1545, and she vows that she's going to take the country, do whatever it takes to get them back to the Catholic way, and she will burn and spill as much blood as she needs to for the cause. And her saying that really made me think of what's happening now and what you just said, because, you know, it's this idea of, well, this is what I believe, so this is, it has to be this. So I either agree with you or I don't, and whoever's not on my side, again, it's that separation. But you're right. You did it when everyone does it when they're 4 years old, and the country's been doing it for 400 years. It's like we haven't learned anything that doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work.
Well, blind loyalty to a friend, to a country, to a religion is ignorant on any level. There's just an ignorance to it. It's really when you put down one of the greatest gifts you have, which is your sentient consciousness, your ability to think and decide for yourself, you know, your heart center, your ability to respond to something that's in opposition to you with compassion. You know, these are not necessarily that you change your position, but not losing compassion just because something stands, you know, in opposition to you. You know,
right.
That's really, we do have alternative ways to confront. You know, and it has been shown. There are people who have demonstrated it. You know, obviously, one of the most famous would be Gandhi. You know, but he's one of many. You know, and there are many ways to confront.
Well,
and it. What's that?
Well,
Well, it's called horizontal, they've termed it horizontal protest, and it's basically using the currency of your body to make the statement, which they've made a declaration, but their declaration is to state the obvious, and what you've been saying is just absolutely stunning and wonderful, and you've got to come on at least once a week while this is going on and talk this talk, because the more people that are listening out there, and there are people listening today, so I think that they will benefit from a healer's point of view. I've been coming at it as the blogger and more of a politic, but when I have the opportunity to bring such as yourself and Nick on to discuss it from this point of view, it's wonderful, because I got to tell you, I got to ask you both, have you ever in your life seen such a rising of spirit ever on the planet?
Nope, and you two are so much more, you know, in you guys have certain feelers that you know, I'm still working on, but I can definitely feel it. I might not know the name for it, but that was the first thing I was going to say whenever this topic comes up, is that it just feels like there's so much. I get this excited feeling a lot, and it just feels like a surge of energy. It's not like, oh, it is kind of a, oh, yay, something, but it's not attached to anything, and I know you've told me, and I can feel that it's true. It's like all this new energy, but sometimes it's odd to know how to process it because it is so new, and I guess my body also is learning how to process it. That's what it feels like to me.
It's a rise in consciousness as well as a rising up, and I think that's what we're also feeling.
Yes. It absolutely is. And it's contagious too.
And I also think one of the things that's also interesting is it's a rising up for a shift in consciousness, or in how we organize society and how we live on the planet. And I think that whenever we've seen a rising, you know, with a great magnitude, it's usually been, you know, against a war, you know, or fighting for a regime of some sort. The thing that's interesting about this that's going on across the planet is it's about how we live. It's about how we take care of our people. It's about how we learn to coexist and co-prosper.
Yes.
And I think that's really, I think that's wholly unique.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It transcends, I keep saying this, especially on other shows and with other people who come in who are writers and contributors to it, and even people who are down there in the middle of it, this transcends boundaries that we've always had. We've always had to deal with all of these, you know, my country, your country. This transcends all of those boundaries, and it goes to a global appeal.
Mm-hmm. The human condition in a system that, you know, has been broken, it's, you know, it's obviously breaking down. But again, I agree, it's a good thing. It needs to happen. You know, it's like any system that, in order to get better, you know, has to break down. Otherwise, you wouldn't fix it. So you're right. It's everybody coming and realizing that this whole system needs to be reworked. And then I think with this raising of consciousness and energy, that new ideas on how to do these things, you know, even just like green food, I've been seeing like different things about, you know, all these works for farmers and getting like real food back. And, you know, all these things that just sort of slipped. You know what I mean?
I do. Asa, I actually have a question for you. I'm wondering, do you think this is it? Is this the moment? Is this the opening?
You mean October 28th,
2011? No. Well, yes, that, but that with Occupy Movement, all of what's going on across the globe, the reinitiation of the Egyptians to readdress their military junta now and get rid of them. I mean, just do you think that this
yes,
is...
Yes, I do.
Good.
I do.
Not good, but great. I'm glad you answered it. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad the answer is yes.
Can we do.
Can we do the Snoopy dance now, Ace?
Well, you know what? It depends. If the Snoopy dance has room for the fact that it's an uncomfortable shift, there's a discomfort in the process, as there usually is with change, then I think we can do the Snoopy dance in the sense that, the gate has opened. The process has begun, you know. What's that?
I never thought it was going to be easy. Did you?
No.
I know a lot of our folks did and still do. But and that's the other thing, the message, getting the message out that look for the light because it's shining in front of you, you know? Did you know Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie on Friday evening were down there singing This Little Light of Mine?
That's what you were talking about in your opening.
I tried.
I heard you say something about the tear, you know, when they were down there. I didn't know what you were talking about. Oh, This Little Light of Mine got Gwen.
Oh, went in deep water, you know.
Well, I think it gets easier. It doesn't have to be this awful strife, but I think, you know, when you see the shifts coming, you can make it easier for yourself, you know, if you can recognize what it is and continue to ride with the wave and not give in to fear and worry. And I think that's the way to make it easier. At least that's what I feel I've been doing.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I also think the other side of that is, you know, it's not necessarily an awful strife, but it doesn't mean that there's no strife in it. You know, and I think one of the problems and the people that Gwen is talking about, you know, in our community who think it's going to be easy are people who think that things are difficult, that life is not supposed to be difficult, that somehow the challenges that we've had in life are a mistake instead of realizing that they are the quest. You know, it is those challenges that drives us, and they're a part of our evolution. And I think that it's important that we embrace what comes difficult, you know, what might be hard, not in a way of you know, martyrdom and suffering, but in a sense of understanding that the heart is in how we receive it inside ourselves. It is our need to shift our perceptions and how we go through it. It's our attachments to what we're going through and our attachments to the old or the new often that create the greatest strife for us.
I agree with you. I think the old Holmes line, the game's afoot, you know, the adventure has begun.
Right.
Yeah, and the other side is, I mean, you know what, we've already started to see some huge earth changes and we're going to see more, you know. I don't mean that, you know, in a threatening way, just in a common sense, you know, reality. It's in our face and we're going to see more. And you know what, if you lose your home, you know, don't tell me you're on the way to ascension. It's no problem. It's no sweat. I'm good. Bullshit. It sucks, and it would be a terrible thing to not hold a place of compassion for those who will suffer that, you know, for those who are going through these earth changes and having to live through these earthquakes. You know, if you haven't been in one of these areas, consider yourself fortunate and say a prayer and send love and compassion for these people and know that this is a difficult shift that is happening on the planet. It's an important shift, and it comes with great joy as well.
Yes. Yes, I think that's very important. We do have a caller. Does anybody mind taking actually, the caller is my other co-host from the blog, Dusty. I'm going to bring her on. Also, it should be noted that it was Arlo Guthrie singing. Pete Seeger is 92 years old, but he marched with them. He wasn't able to do the Sing Fest.
Wow.
So, Dusty, you're on live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are y'all today?
Hi, Dusty.
Good. Hi, Dusty.
I was just going to talk to you know, everybody's kind of interested in what's going on in Occupy Oakland. They're still defying the vacate orders, but what the cops are doing now is they're cracking down on parking violations. So, they're trying to hit them in their pocketbook, too.
So that's going on in Oakland. Great.
Yeah. Oakland, you know, they were given that notice to move Friday night, and this is Monday morning, Monday afternoon, and they're still there. But they're cracking down on the parking and traffic laws around the whole Occupy Oakland encampment. And then the other thing that people are bitching about up there, which is a pretty valid complaint, is that and Occupy New York has the same problem. The homeless people are moving in, and that's not a bad thing necessarily, because you know the homeless people are part of you know the 99% too. The problem is that they're taking advantage of all the resources, all the food, all the blankets, all that kind of stuff, and they're not joining in to help clean up the mess. They're making messes, you know. In New York City, they're a little bit more organized, and they're hitting these guys up. Hey, you either get up and start doing something to earn your keep, or you can move on down the road. And some people think that's a little harsh, but I don't. I think it's a very valid request for people that are sitting there sponging off, and I use sponging gently, but people who are, you know, taking advantage of the Occupy Wall Street, wonderful movement to eat for free and sleep for free, you know, and be safe from, you know, being rolled and beaten by whack jobs. So the only problem is that the Occupy Oakland group isn't anywhere near as organized as the group in New York City. So that supposedly they're even having problems with rats now in their encampment, because they're not doing a good job of keeping their encampment cleaned up, and that's, you know, that's a bad thing, because the media is just glomming on to that, and you know the corporate media is glomming on to that and making it a big story.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for the update. Jeez. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's New York. That's Oakland, where the problem is garments. And the homeless are part of the 99%, and they should contribute. And if they do not make some sort of contribution, like People's Mic or what have you, getting into the spirit of it.
Or cleaning. Just cleaning, yes. They can clean up just like everybody else. There's cleaning groups, and they can join those cleaning groups. They, you know, for them to just sit there and enjoy the largesse of the group at large, which is free meals and a nice warm sleeping bag, and not do anything for that, you know, I think it's bullshit. And that's just my personal, I have nothing against homeless people, but if they're going to enjoy the fruits of Occupy Wall Street's labor, then they need to, you know, to do something to earn their keep, so to speak. It's not like they all got jobs that they got to go to during the day.
Okay.
But, you know, that's just the way I look at it. But the all vehicles, including those associated with the media, are getting ticketed left and right, and even towed away if they can, you know, get a good enough excuse to tow them away. So that's the latest on Occupy Oakland. But they're still there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Were you guys talking about religion earlier, somebody who is religious and who's supporting the movement? I got in the middle of the conversation.
We're coming at this from you missed the intro. We're coming at this from a more spiritual body, mind, spirit side. Not religious, spiritual side.
I said something about, I was talking, making a reference to the tutors. Yeah.
I have an alternate posted article today that the Vatican has called for economic equality and sweeping reform of the global financial system. And it's not the first time, you know, as much as I hate organized religion and I hate it with every fiber of my being, the fact that they, you know, would actually release a statement and, you know, and voice their opinion on this is, you know, it's a good thing. And, you know, they released quite a big statement on it.
Considering, Dusty, that the Catholic Church has the largest
entity
on the planet.
Oh, yeah. They're one of the biggest corporations in the world, and they're tax-free.
I call that high talk from low down. So I really think that that's just some spin. But actually,
I don't think it's spin.
My guest is Asa Hoffman and Nicole Tomasini. And yes, we were speaking about the movement from the body, mind, spirit point of view, but not the religious point of view.
Okay. Well, I just want to throw that in there that alternate. They're not a big religious supporting organization either. And God knows, I think the Vatican's the biggest ripoff in the fucking world. But for them to actually come out and make a big statement about economic equality and sweeping reform in the global financial system, that's a voice that. That their flock will listen to, and so that's a good thing. I'm not saying that their group as a whole is a wonderful ideal. It's not, but you welcome anything that's going to support your point of view, and for the Vatican to come out and release that statement, I think it's a good thing.
It gives those who follow the Vatican permission to think that way for themselves. Since a lot of people who follow religion, they look for those
religious
leaders.
That's the only part I thought it was good. Instead of them saying it's just a bunch of dirty hippies and fuck them all, they're giving them permission to support the movement, and their true flock, supports them lock, stock, and barrel. Although I know a lot of Catholics who don't support 99% of the shit that comes out of the Vatican, so. I just brought it up for that reason alone, that it gives their flock permission to support the movement, and that's always a good thing.
What was the rest of your thought on that, Asa? You were
on what? Oh no, just the saying that it actually sort of in congruency there as far as just that it gives them permission that there are those people who they look for leaders to tell them what they can think or what they can feel. And
exactly.
I ultimately think that what the Occupy Wall Street movement is and where we're going as a whole with this evolution on the planet right now is about, really stepping into our own boots, into our own thoughts and our own feelings and really stepping outside of following leaders who tell us what we're allowed to think or what we're allowed to feel. Where our leaders become ones who inspire us to think and to feel for ourselves, and they inspire us with ideas, with intelligence, with a depth of wisdom that makes us, want to discover what we have inside ourselves, not
That's
what they
can
tell
us. That's a great point of view, dude. That's a great point of view.
That was basically what Dr. Brother Cornell West had said. It was a leaderless movement filled with leaders.
Mm. Well, we've been talking about standing in a room of equals for 20 years, Gwen, right? Or more.
And the thing is
that so many people who say that they want to stand in a room of equals so often look to be able to dismiss those next to them, for their own insecurities or their own egos. And it's really about saying, enough of this bullshit. We are a room of equals. Even bringing it back to America and this idea of, the land of the free and that we're all free, well, then fine. Let's create a room of equals, not this room where your point of view doesn't fit with mine, so I'm going to find a way to dismiss you.
There you go.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, man.
You didn't succeed enough in this system, so your point of view isn't valid.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
At a core, the capitalism and there was, when this country started, there was responsibility, there was personal responsibility in this. People really wanted to be able to feed their families. They wanted to be able to prosper and to live well. It wasn't about trying to dominate every dollar that they could over every other person around them.
Exactly.
And I think that, what we've forgotten is that to hold the freedom and to have a society like this, we have to have personal integrity and personal responsibility to be at the core of our values.
It's not a value at all for Wall Street. They would laugh at you if you approach them with that viewpoint that these executives making billions of dollars a year in bonuses, they'd laugh you out of the room if you told them they had a moral responsibility to, you know, to make sure that they were, you know, supporting the bottom 99%. They'd laugh you out of the place, and that's what's really kind of pathetic, you know, if you think about it, that, you know.
Well, that is the problem. That's exactly what I'm saying, is that right now we need to come back to a core value system that goes to the individual, not morals. I'm not really for morals generally, or things of religion that tells us, you know, who you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to live, but just personal values, personal integrity that says, you know what, you know, it's about finding my peace here, but having room for everybody else to find their peace around you, too. It's not about trying to take everybody else's peace with it.
Exactly. Because a large percentage of the population now is the I got mine, fuck the rest of you crowd. And that's the worst type of behavior and belief that we can have. That's why we're in this mess. You know?
Well,
that's,
and
that's
on another level, I mean,
that,
and also I think we're talking about a lot of, not to sound too arrogant here, but we're talking about a lot of boring people. Who they're so boring that what gives them a dynamic, interesting life to them is making money, because that's the only thing that they can find excitement around.
Yeah, and
you
they
know,
don't make anything.
They've forgotten
but
the
money.
Excitement of culture. They've forgotten the excitement of you know, things that are outside of making a money system.
Right, connected with others in a grounded sort of way.
I would say they have forgotten the joy in service. Now, we both know I ain't no nun. But you and I both know how much joy there is in helping somebody. Yeah?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's like me with my stupid cats, all the abandoned cats I take care of in the neighborhood. People move in. When they move out, they leave these cats that they've had for years that have lived in a house, and all of a sudden they're thrown to the outside world. And, you know, I can't just let those cats, you know, get run over and eaten by dogs and starve to death because they don't have the tools to live on the street. You know, I do what I can for them. And it makes me angry that people can throw away a living life like that without even a blink of an eye. It's like, what the fuck did you get it for? They don't even get them spayed or neutered either. I have to do that as well. And thank God I have a group here in town that pays for me to get all these cats spayed and neutered, too. And I try to find them homes, but it's hard to find homes for adult cats, you know. It's a real pain in the ass. But that goes to the whole problem that Ace is talking about, that people just don't have personal responsibility anymore, you know. And that's it's at the most basic core. If you take in an animal and you know, that animal is depending on you for everything in its life, and you move out and your next apartment won't allow a pet, you just say, fuck it and leave it there. I mean, you know, what that say about you as a human being and how you treat the rest of the world in general if you can throw an animal away that easily? That's what just drives me mad. It drives me absolutely mad. So, you know, I think that speaks to a lot of the whole I got mine, fuck the rest of you bullshit, too. To change the subject, Goldman Sachs bailed on a fundraiser this weekend because they found out afterwards, after they were giving them their money and going to attend, that the credit union was holding a fundraiser for Occupy Wall Street. And they shit down both legs and promptly pulled out. And the money quote for me was from the credit union, where they said, we lost their $5,000, but we have our principles. And that was said by Pablo De Filippi, one of the dinner's hosts. This article was printed in the New York Daily News, which is a lousy rag, but this was a really good piece. I loved it. The title of the piece was Offered, Goldman Sachs Pulls Out a Fundraiser After Learning It's Honoring Occupy Wall Street. So I thought that was a lovely bit of delicious irony there. I posted on that one today, you know. It was, and I belong to a credit union. I forgive to give the big bank. I refuse to give the big banks my money. I have a local credit union that I use, and I think everybody should, you know, say fuck you to the big banks and join local credit unions, because those are actually owned by the people who have their money there. So they're not great big huge, you know, conglomerates, and sometimes it costs a little more because they don't have as many ATMs and things like that. But at least I can sleep at night.
That was weird, Dusty.
What happened there?
Goldman Sachs was invited to a fundraiser.
I caught all that. I caught all that. I wasn't sure what happened on Gwen's end. So.
I don't know what Gwen's doing. No, I can hear a bunch of noise and rattling. I'm trying to do laundry simultaneously as I'm talking to you. But
no, I was thanking Dusty for her updates. Appreciated. Very colorful.
Oh, well, I'm always colorful, if nothing else.
Colorful. Asa, I know that you have to run, so I wanted to end piece with both you and Nick. Nick, are you still with?
I am. Oh. And I actually have a question for Asa before he goes.
Oh yeah, and I got some more. I'm not hanging up so quick here. Don't worry. So.
Oh, okay, cool. Great.
Yeah, no, we started late. I wanted to be able to stand a little bit longer. It's flying by here. And it feels like an important show to be a part of, so I'm really grateful to be here with you, too.
Does Asa have a blog?
No,
does
not
Asa
yet.
Blog? Oh, I'd love to read your writing or your thoughts on a regular basis. I think you're very knowledgeable and you put it very well.
Well, thank you, Dusty. Gwen drives me batty about it as often as she possibly can.
No, I'll design it for you.
I would get on it.
I can design you a really nice blog for free. So if she's driving you nuts to get one, I can build you one.
Okay, definitely.
For nothing. That's what I do as a hobby. So I would love to see somebody like you put your thoughts out there on a regular basis that we all can read.
That
was
so cool. Thank you.
Great. It would be great. I'm trying to talk Asa into coming on once a week as long as we're doing the OWS Solidarity.
Good.
I think it's
I'll be here.
Yeah.
It's really important to have a body, mind, spirit day of it all. I really think so. And you were going to say, Ace.
No, I was listening. I think it was Nicole who was going to ask me a question.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you said earlier, Gwen asked, you know, if this is the time, you said the how did you put it, the portal is opening, the, what did you call it, this time period, the light is coming through, what did you say?
Gwen, what did you say? I forget what you called it. Was this the beginning?
I actually asked Asa, if this was it, big capital
right.
I, capital T,
right.
Is this it? Is this the crack between the worlds? Is this the time that we have waited?
And that's my question. You said, yes, this is the time, and we were talking about the energy, you know, coming in. But can you explain a little bit more, like, what that means, this time being the time and the opening, like, the crack?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think in some ways Gwen explains this better than me sometimes in some of the scientific terms, but, you know, really there are some major alignments that are happening in our cosmos, and those alignments are actually affecting us magnetically on the planet. We know we can see that in very real examples, but it's also affecting us in conscious terms. It's turning on our brains. It's activating us. And, you know, there's a period of time where there's sort of a bridge point between the world of consciousness that was and the world of consciousness that we're moving into. And I think this is the beginning of that bridge point where we're having to face those dualities. We're facing the way we've lived on the planet, and we're making decisions about what this planet is going to be in the future, or whether it's going to be in some ways, although I think it's a matter of evolution. I think we are not only going to continue, we're going to grow, maybe even in spite of ourselves.
Do you think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the baby boomers are reaching retirement, and so they're looking, you know, death's door, so to speak, right in the eye? You know, they're facing their own mortality and realizing what they you know, accomplished or not accomplished in their life, because that's the biggest group.
Well, I would say it, you know, Duffy, I would actually say it's the other way around.
Okay.
I would say that's a part of it, but I would actually say that the cosmos, that this evolution is something that we've been marching towards, you know, for millennia. And that yes, that the baby boomers are a part of, or an example of that consciousness and that shift that's been taking place on this planet. And this opening that's really has happened quite a long time ago. But I think the it that Gwen was talking about is really this marked time of, you know, no more fucking around and pussyfooting about it.
Yeah. You know, no,
here
exactly.
It is. Here it is in your face. And you know what? It's not that thing that you get to just find a package and put it away and say, you know, I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to deal with the fact that we're all one on this planet and the fact that what I do to my neighbor, I do to myself. You know, we no longer
mm-hmm.
get to package that away anymore. That,
no, you're right.
Been,
I think it's
been,
very
that
helpful
paradigm
all
has
around
already
that.
Shifted. Yeah, that paradigm has already shifted. So now what we have to figure out is how do we live in this new paradigm? And we actually don't know. We're babies
no,
in
we
that.
Don't.
We haven't learned how to live in that. And you know, even those of us who I think are standing in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, it's not necessarily that we know. And I think that's a really important thing. It's not that there's a known answer of what we need to do. It's about saying we need to recognize that there are things we need to do, that we have to address how we live on this planet as a whole,
no,
how we
great.
Live with one another, and that is essential towards a spiritual and physical evolution of ourselves and our planet.
That's really great, and that's a wonderful way to put it.
Well, and the alternative doesn't exist. That's the other part, is that we have to get it through the heads of those who want to hold on to old systems, that alternative doesn't exist. There's actually nothing to hang on to. Because what you're
hanging
on to
is... You're talking
to
the people of Fox Noise at that point, darling, and it's going to be hard to get through to them.
Because
they're trying to drag us backwards. They're trying to drag us backwards.
In some ways, yes. They definitely are in what they're putting out there. But
mm-hmm.
but a lot of these people as individuals are facing similar things in their personal lives, and they're not knowing where to put it, and they're looking just like the rest of us. And that's why the information we put out there is so important, that... Remember to say that there's definitely the place for the protest, for the fight against, but there also has to be the place where there's just the fight for, that's welcoming to everyone to come in and evolve with us. And I'm talking
no,
about
I
the
agree.
Piece here.
Yeah, that's I agree totally. That's great. The way you put it is
Did
very
you,
succinct.
I've been thinking about it a long time. I've been talking to Glenn for a long time.
Right. Did you major in psychology or something? I mean, just the way you worded all is so good.
I majored in metaphysics. I've been
metaphysics,
a metaphysician
okay.
all my life, and started seeing spooks when I was a young kid, and have never stopped studying from that vantage point. I have taken some psychology classes over the years, but I really. Didn't major in anything that wasn't a program I didn't create for myself or alongside
oh,
great teachers
way,
I met along the way.
Just the way Asa is. I think he was
no,
born,
I love him.
You know,
I've never heard
I
him
think.
Before. I've never heard him before, and
yeah.
I love him. I adore him.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been on the Cousin Comedy with Glenn and Nicole.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Mm. No, see, Asa's my business partner. He lives in New York City.
Oh, okay. God, what a place to live. Well, I say that as a left coast person who's lived on both coasts, so I have a lot to compare. I can compare and contrast the life in a big city on the East Coast versus life in Southern California, and it's totally different. You know, my sister just spent the weekend in my what I like to refer to as my yippie sister from hell. Just spent the weekend in New York City because she flew there just for the Charger game. She evidently has a lot of excess money on her hands. And she called me this morning, and I said, so what was your opinion of New York City? And all she did was just go batshit crazy about how dirty, all the smells, all the garbage, all the junk, all the craziness. And I was like, well, you know, that's because you've lived your entire life in Southern California. And that's 180 out from the way life is on the East Coast. And I've lived in Boston and other major cities on the East Coast, so I can compare and contrast. And, yes, it's culture shock for somebody who's never been in that type of environment to all of a sudden land there and go, holy fuck-a-moly, what's with all these people shoved in this small-ass area, you know, because New York is just people on top of people. And, you know, it's just totally
different. Yeah, but if that's all
somebody's
seeing, then, if that's all somebody's seeing, then they're not really looking.
No, I totally agree. But that's why I call her my yuppie sister from hell. She's one of the people that makes, you know, between her and her husband, they make a very, very good, you know, six-digit a year living. And you know, they live in a very upscale neighborhood in San Diego. And none of this touches them. You know, they don't even talk about Occupy Wall Street or the problems associated. associated with the, our screwed up financial system, because even though they lost a lot of their 401k, they bitch about the cost of their health insurance and blame it on Obama. You know, so they, her husband watches Fox News religiously, so that tells you a lot. But you know, it just was interesting to hear her point of view on a big metropolitan area like New York City as opposed to San Diego. So, you know, it's a totally different world for somebody who's never seen it before. And I'm
wondering, you and Michael and Nick, you two, you guys are living your lives around this. I know you're going down there occasionally and whatnot. Tell me, what is the energy shift in the city? You remember, Asa, when you took me to see Ground Zero when we drove back into the city after I hadn't been in a long while, and I told you what I thought was there?
I do. I remember very well about the vortexes, the light energy.
Yes, and I think we're seeing a manifestation of that with Fulcati Park and the Occupy movement. I think as we're talking about, you know, major cities and the glut of people and all that, people don't realize that some of the major cities like Boston and New York City are huge natural vortexes on the planet. That's why the Indians loved it so well, because of all of the natural vortexes there, the earth energy that exists in New York City.
You know, I always love when you say it, because so many people really negate that. They come here and they think they have to, I even hear from New Yorkers, they think they have to get out of the city to connect to the vortexes that are on the planet, the sacred sites, instead of realizing that they're living in the center of a sacred site. And a part of why this city has grown up the way it has is because of the vortex that already exists here.
Wow.
And
I love listening to you guys talk about this stuff. It's totally alien to me. No, I love it. It's very educational, and it makes me feel like it's something I really want to learn about. You know, I'm just saying it's I'm just a very political being. Have been all my life. And that's just the way I operate. And I've never thought of things on a metaphysical or spiritual level ever. So I love listening to
you
guys talk about it.
Behind every physical manifestation is the energy that created it.
Mm-hmm.
As above, so below, a hermetic axiom.
Well, one of the big things that I'll just say is that, you know, the conversation about Occupy Wall Street is everywhere, Gwen, and I do think I don't know that it's shifted the energy of the city so much as a whole, like, you know, that there's a definitive feeling just walking down the street that you feel, so much as there's a definitive shift in the interactions and the people, and that we understand, you know, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, there's a sense of something important that's happening right here at our back door.
That's good to hear. That's kind of information that I think needs to get out on the airwaves and people need to know about, because it's one thing to watch Keith Olbermann or CNN, whoever you choose, and to see what's going on through a camera lens, but it's another thing altogether to hear from a native New Yorker who, you know, is aligned to it but not living it consistently and yet observing so well what is actually going on there. I thank you for that observation. We need it.
Absolutely. But the other side of it is that to go to my office, you know, I walk through some of the biggest touristy spots in the city, like 34th Street by Macy's, and you know,
right,
there are tons of Taurons coming and going with no consciousness about what's happening, you know, or at least no care in their moment, you know, about it. So, you know, there's both. That's why I say when you walk down the streets, it's not necessarily that you feel the vibe through it all as much as the residents of New York, I find, on one level or another, have that awareness that something important is happening here and are feeling it and talking about it, and it's, yeah, it's just coming up. You're hearing it.
And they're using the word revolution as well, like regular people. I mean, you know, that word is coming around. For instance, my friend Zion was coming to me, and it was one of the first times that, you know, Occupy Wall Street was really, really booming. And so he got out of the subway, and he asked this police officer, he was like, how do I get, you know, down to Rector Street? And the guy actually said, he said, just go past the revolution and then you'll see you can make a right and take down
the
street.
Oh, that's great. Right, that's
so
fucking
my mom
awesome.
Said revolution. Yeah. So,
that's
you know,
funny.
It's happening. Yeah.
Oh,
that
that's
is
awesome.
Funny.
I love it.
I'd like to say that it's not so much about the revolution as it is about evolution, though.
Exactly.
I knew
evolution.
You were going there.
Sure. Yeah, me too.
Sure.
I was waiting for somebody to say that.
Sure.
So
if they walk past the evolution, it kind of sounds. That would be cool though.
What?
Walk by the people evolving. And
you know what bothers
right.
me though is I'm still finding so-called lefties that are bashing the whole movement because A, it doesn't have a concrete list of demands, and B, it seems so disjointed. You know, there was a commercial that Occupy Wall Street has released. I don't know if you've all seen it. Very
yeah.
short commercial they plan on putting on network TV. And it's a really good one because it's got a whole bunch of different things that people want. It's got people from all walks of life, all colors, all ages. And so a friend of mine took it from my side and put it on hers. And she's a lefty, and she lives up in Northern California, up around Sacramento. And she got a so-called left-winger on there who was just bashing the living shit out of the entire movement with generalizations, of course, because you can't really get, you know, you can't get specific other than they have no message. It's dirty hippies. They got garbage there. They're not organized. I'm just like, oh, my God.
That's kind of old stuff even amongst the MSN now, but... Here's
yeah, but
the,
doesn't it make you sad that so-called liberals and progressives still feel that way? It just breaks my heart. It does.
It doesn't make me sad because, as Asa was saying earlier, people are having to shift. The shift is having its effect. And, Asa, I wanted to remind you, because you were talking everything but you didn't say it, and we both know how important it really is, and a lot of people will try and poo-poo it, but when you look at what's happened in less than 40 days, I think you and I can stand with Nick and say, excuse me, intention, intention, intention.
Mm-hmm. You mean the idea that the energy that they put out there created this?
Yes, I think that intention, you know, when folks talk about Fukati Park, the General Assembly, only making a declaration that says what they find wrong with the situation as it is, and they use their bodies as the currency to spend and getting it paid out, what they are doing is setting an intention, just like Gandhi did, just like MLK did.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they're setting
exactly.
a path and an energy, and it's going to exist beyond these 40 days, you know, and beyond when people go home.
Well, they're not planning to go home, right? They're planning on being there through the winter.
They are, yeah.
Yeah,
and that's
they
the part
are.
That just scares me because, you know, living out, being a former East Coaster, I know how harsh the winters are, and, you know, they're going to be basically living on the sidewalks, and it just scares me, those poor kids. I mean, I call them kids because I'm... you know, late 50s, but, you know, it's just, it's going to be so hard on them, and just, that's just going to show even more their resolve, you know, to put up with this, and I think that's what the media and everybody else is, they're all going, let's wait and see how many of them are there when it's, you know, 25 below and the snow's up to their ass, you know, I think that's what they're all waiting for, and it just makes me mad, it really does, because they're ignoring their message until... they want to see what's going to happen, you know, if they all run for cover when it gets cold, then it's just, I hate it. I hate it.
Well, let's see what happens, you know? I mean, I think something's got to give, obviously, eventually, and if this keeps coming, and it keeps coming in all these cities and all these places, I mean, you know, every time I look on the internet, it's like it's another city, and they're becoming, like, more sort of, you know, remote, and so I think eventually something's got to give here. I mean, hopefully it's not
I also
just
think
that.
There's a mark, you know, whether they say or they don't say, I think there is a mark that's already happened here that's going to continue. This energy, it's not going to just go to sleep because they leave. So people can wait to dismiss them all they want, but I don't think it's going to be that easy to dismiss. I mean, I think that's really the whole point, is that what's happening here is a movement. It's a movement that's not just a revolution, but it's an evolution, which is tapping into our consciousness, and it's not something that you get to package and put away. I still think that's a big part of why it doesn't name specific demands, is because it's saying
it's forcing us
to think and have conversations rather than being able to find something that can be packaged, quick phrase, sold for a while on the internet and on the television, and then put away until the next thing comes along.
And I love the fact that they refuse to be co-opted by any party or any group. That to me is one of the biggest and best parts of the whole movement, is they refuse to let move in on them, and they refuse to let the Democratic Party co-opt them like the teabaggers let the GOP, you know. That to me is just one of the most wonderful parts of the whole evolution, is that they refuse to align themselves or let the other side align themselves with them. That's really great. It really says a lot about them and their modus operandi, is that they're out there to tell us what's wrong with the system. They're not out there to tell us how to fix it.
Well, and that's why I actually don't hate that there's liberals criticizing it or not criticizing it. I think at the end of the day, it really forces people to figure out where they're standing and what they're thinking about what's going on. It begs a conversation. That's not about agreeing or not agreeing. I mean, I can't say that everything that that's being stated or not stated I agree with or don't agree with. I don't think it's even about that. I'm not agreeing with a statement. I'm agreeing with I'm supporting a consciousness.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying, but what bothers me is the so-called lefties who are vehemently against it are picking what I consider inane reasons for being against the movement, because they're using the talking points of the right and the corporate media as their reasons for not supporting the movement, which is, like I said, they don't have a list of demands. They're not really concerned about what their message is overall.
Repeating it consistently and going over it just keeps it tumbling around out there. And in actuality, people aren't listening to that one so much anymore, as they're trying to figure out how long they're going to stay there and what their real agenda is. I've heard more of that in the last few days than anything else.
Well, I think that a lot of people are wondering, what does the change look like?
Yeah.
You know, what does that look
and
like?
Getting to that, as we started out today, we were talking about Friday being AHAL 13, or the end of the Mayan calendar. An old friend of yours, Asa, I have a little recorded snippet from, and I'd like to play it and get your and Nick's and mine and Dusty's response to it. We were talking about the message of the Maya calendar here. Let me give a playback. I'm wondering if you'll recognize the voice too.
This gathering was called by the Mayan people, specifically by Don Alejandro Cirillo Perez, who is considered by most the head of the Mayan people, and other tribes. They weren't the only ones. There were other tribes that called for this meeting at the same time. And the reason it was called is because the Mayan calendar we're living in a very specific time, and this ceremony and the ceremonies that are taking place had to happen within this very narrow amount of time for the prophecies to be completed. What is secretly behind this is not just the prophecies in terms of what they believe, but it has to do also with ancestors returning from long ago into this time. For the world, there's something very important for them to understand about what this is. These are tribes from all over North and South America and from other countries, Japan, Europe, and all over. They hold something within themselves, within their knowledge, their wisdom, their experience, their DNA. They have something in them that if we don't understand, and by we I mean the modern world, we will not be allowed to continue. We either remember it or we start over. Modern world thinks that we are the greatest thing that ever lived on Earth. We think that our technology is fantastic and nothing this great has ever been on Earth. But in truth, this is not the first time. This has happened many, many times before where races have discovered the technology far beyond what we have now and then learned the same lesson that spirit is far greater than anything that we can create physically. But still, we are in this point now where we think that we don't need the ancient past. We don't need that all we need is our modern understanding of where we're going. But anyone with reason can see that modern technology is not sustainable, meaning that if we continue on this path, we're all going to die. And it's missing something. This technology would not really be a problem if there was one thing was added to it, and that is the ancient knowledge. And if we don't understand this, we're in serious trouble. If we do understand this, and we listen to the ancient world and to the indigenous people and the ancient cultures and understand their viewpoint of life, which is very different than ours. They're in a dream world. We're in a logical mind world. We're in two different worlds. But if we understand their world and how they were able to sustain their lives for millions of years, and we bring that and combine it into who we are now, then we will be able to go on.
Did you recognize who that was, Asa?
I didn't. I love what he was saying, but who was it?
Drumbalo, Melchizedek.
Oh. Wow, I should have known. That was brilliant.
It was.
It really
was great.
Was.
I loved it. I've never heard anything like that, so I really, I think it's something that I would really like to check into even further. I hate to cut myself short, but I have a police officer at my front door. I don't know what's going on down the street, but he's over here, so I got to go. So I'll leave you guys to your talk, and I'll be on tomorrow. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye, Dusty.
Bye.
Thank you, Dusty, for I know she listens to these afterwards. Dusty has been very helpful. She comes on, and she does a great show a couple of days a week. Right now it's just Tuesdays, but she's been doing Thursdays for me too, so that's really great. The indigenous people's point of view, what they've been saying, the Hopi, the Maya, the Maori, the indigenous of Australia, the Aborigine people, all of them have had the same message for the last, you know, the bang shot of industrialization. For the last 50 years here, they've really been banging their drums to say, if we do not stop, if we do not realign. And I'm wondering how, I don't know if you have wondered, but I'm certainly wondering what you both have to say, Nick, Asa, how the indigenous community, I know a lot of them have been down to Occupy in Wall Street from the like Natural History Museum and such, but I know of one unoccupy in New Mexico, which is actually an occupy, but they're in alignment and in harmony with the Native Americans, have called it unoccupy. So that's crazy, strange, great, and good.
Yes.
So I'm wondering how the awareness, the consciousness raising that is going on and unity that's happening right now with all of the different occupies, do you see the indigenous community reaching into it?
I believe I do. You know, I think I have from different communities, including one South African group that I've actually recently tapped into, the South African Shaman. And you know, the thing that I think we've heard consistently, you know, even when we were in Denmark, remember we were watching the thing about the Kyogi Indians where they were talking to us as their little brother, and they were big brother, and saying that we needed to remember, to remember our ancestors.
And to bring the mother into balance.
And
yeah.
to bring, yes, harmony back to our home. And you know, I mean, personally, I think that our evolution is about, I mean, I think to some degree we de-evolved in our consciousness to pick up technology to be able to re-evolve. You know, and the idea
yeah.
is that if we can evolve with technology, it will be an amazing shift. It will be a truly powerful, spiritual, amazing place to be. Then we really will have seen something that's never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're doing now with this greed, with this destruction, this is easy. This isn't exciting. It's not new. It's not intelligent. You know, it's just greed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember calling certain things catalysts. And apparently the catalysts are ticking off, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, as with Earth,
I mean, I think there's a lot of catalysts.
Some catalysts are going to be, as you said at the beginning of the show, some catalysts are actually very difficult Earth changes that we have to go through. Another catalyst, I think, has been the election of Barack Obama. It's the needed trigger towards a pole vaulting us further into what we need to do to change.
Well, I also think, you know, another catalyst is seeing the amount of special needs and the things that are happening to our children that are being
yes.
born, and recognizing, I think, more and more the knowledge that pharmaceutical companies have invaded our crops, our food sources, and that,
yes.
that also in the name of greed, I think this is a major catalyst. And I think when people see it hit home with their own children and they go to the doctor and the doctors are telling them, you know, it's mercury in your food or in your, you know, arsenic in your water, and they're hearing that, I think it's a huge catalyst to say, oh, wait, I can't just ignore this. I don't get to ignore this. This has come to my home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speak it, my brother. Yes.
And my answer to the question is I've actually been really tuning into the idea of the ancestors a lot. And when I look at, you know, the system breakage with the food, and, you know, my father was always big on going back to the Native American way of just nourishment. And, you know, I was raised that way. And so, you know, with all these things happening with the food, as well as the system of ownership, the greed, it makes me really, I guess, well, definitely tune into and listen to the Native American ancestors and, you know, thinking, okay, well, they had a system with the earth, and that's what we're looking for. So I find myself tuning into them, and I see them also popping up all over. Like anything I watch on a political or a spiritual basis, I see a lot more Native Americans talking about things. But when you asked the question, it made me realize, you know what, I've seen them kind of around more, and I'm always pleased about that, and even in my own consciousness. So that's how I see them coming back.
Well, and I also think, you know, how did these ancestors live? What is really the message? What are we talking about? And we're talking about basic things. You know, they listened to one another. Most tribes, you know, they would use a talking stick or have some form of making sure that the person who was speaking was heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a way of acknowledging them. And then the person who may speak against them or with them would then have their moment, and they would be heard. It was about being able to hear one another. It was about how we fed ourselves. It was about a sense of community. It was about changing the crops and taking care of the mm-hmm. land and being responsible. It's really
listening to the land.
It's the basic tenets of taking care of a human body and a system,
right.
The ability to live on this planet, in harmony with our planet, which is,
yeah,
is basically being able to live with ourselves, to take care of ourselves,
that's
and
right,
meet our needs. And if
that's
we
right
think we're so important, or our stock market is so important that we have to have our BlackBerry or our iPhone or whatever buzzing 24/7, and we can never separate from that long enough to look the person in the eyes that lives with us, to have a conversation eye to eye, then we are heading towards destruction. We
yeah
are in a loss of culture, because we are culture. You know, culture isn't mm-hmm somewhere out there. It's not some place you have to visit. It's in
and
you.
At the end of the day,
and
you
it's how you choose,
a dollar bill.
It's how you choose to live. It's how you choose to raise your family, and it's how you choose to interact with those people in your life. And you know what? We, each and every one of us, is making very serious choices every day when we choose whether or not we're going to meet a person with eye contact, when we choose whether or not we're going to say thank you, when we choose whether or not we're going to use something as simple as manners, which goes such a long way and cost you nothing.
The energy that you put out in the world around you, around the people around you, and what you choose, what you associate around. I mean, it's really a creating of a positive energy and a balance, like you said, between yourself, the other people, your earth, you know, your nourishment, your everything, isn't it? I mean, it's just balance.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Go look at a public toilet, and you'll see the dog-eat-dog world that you're living in around you, because nobody
yeah
likes a disgusting toilet. Not one
right
single person
right
wants to deal with that. Nobody wants to be dirty with this, and yet how many people actually take responsibility to not leave that disgusting, that they're so into them not getting disgusted that men piss all over the seat without picking it up?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we see this all the time. Do you know where you don't see that? In Singapore. Do you know why?
Why?
Do you guys know why?
No.
Because they'll cane you for it. So is the they literally will cane you, and so you don't see it. So is the alternative to responsibility and integrity that we need to cane? Is that
right
really where we want to go? Because
right
asking people
does
to take personal
that
responsibility and to connect with one another and to connect with their own integrity is about saying, listen, accept your freedoms as a gift and respect them. You know,
mm-hmm
it's not about
responsibility.
Freedom is not about F you and I don't have to do what you do because I'm free. Freedom is about I'm free and I am going to support and collaborate with you so that we remain free, so that we can live free.
That's so well said. That is so well said. I thank you.
Well, my mind has been boggled when I heard that the one place where you can find clean toilets is where people get caned, because human beings have not made a choice of personal
that's
integrity and respect for people, for the ones around them. They would never do it in their own home, but we have so little respect for our neighbors that don't share
right
our same space.
That's the only solution that we've had on this part.
It is a case, again, of stewardship. It's proper
mm-hmm
stewardship. And, you know,
absolutely
having such respect and such interest and the reflection back with indigenous cultures and understanding that they created life in a village that was really completely their world. There's no reason why we can't be sustainable that way again and enjoy the technology that we have with responsibility. That, I think, is the goal, is to clean the Earth Mother up responsibly, but perhaps, as you were pointing out earlier, it's going to take more Earth changes to be able to better accommodate that kind of a reality, simply because the warmongering, profiteering of corporations, and let's not be fooled, the reason the corporations want to profit so much is the only way they can is to continue wars. It's a shock and awe world, you know. It's disaster.
Well,
happens.
We also have to also stop celebrating the death of our enemies and start mourning the fact that they existed in the way they did.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to celebrate
absolutely
the death of. I'm not celebrating the death of Gaddafi or any other of these
it's
crazy
none
bastards
of, I don't
out there, and not that
yeah
I can in any support of them either. But what I'm going to do is mourn their existence and mourn that they had that power, and I'm going to learn from it and grow from it and hopefully be a part of a different society that we're creating going forward, which can't happen if I only celebrate their death.
That's correct. Yes, I agree with you, Asa.
Because if I celebrate their death, you know what, when they celebrate so hard, look at that's when the celebration goes so crazy and the guns go firing into the sky and it takes to the streets like that, somebody is walking in the back door and taking power.
That's it.
Because the eyes are in the wrong place.
And it's happening right now. It's happening right now.
The eyes are in, that's right, because the eyes are in the wrong place. The accomplishment wasn't the death. The accomplishment is the beginning. That takes place after that, if it's handled responsibly.
Yes, and it's shocking people. It's actually shocking people I know that they actually put onto television his body and what was done to him. That's just shocking. It's shameful. It's shameful to watch American politicians stand in front of an audience that applauds their greed and the death of an individual, a neighbor, because they can't afford to buy insurance. To me, that's, I cried, okay? We all know Gwen's going through hormonal fun, but hey, I don't think I'd have to be going through a hormone shift to actually cry about something like that. This is something that needs to shift. Consciousness has to evolve.
Yeah, and I think that the next step in the evolution isn't about seeing those who've profited now suffer. It's
right.
It's about a proper distribution of profit, you know, a balanced society. And the balanced society doesn't, there is no balance if we just tip it to the other extreme.
Right. The other 1% then.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That's really quite
How very Libra.
Yeah.
The cold metal
right.
scale, tipping from one end to the other, looking for balance.
That's right. Run to the left. Run to the right. Run. Yes, absolutely.
I have to tell you guys, it's the bottom of my hour here, and it's my time to sign off. But I have
yeah,
to
I've
tell
run
you guys
too, so.
How much I have enjoyed this show with both of you today. I hope for you to come back one day a week, because we definitely need to put body, mind, and spirit into this conversation about the Occupy movement. And who better than my people in my peeps in the spooky, the booga booga side of town, right?
Absolutely.
How about
we'll
meet here
guys.
Next Monday.
Hey,
cool.
I'm here, and I'll be doing it. I thank you so much. My guests today have been Nicole Tomasini. She has the I Love Nicole show. You can find it on YouTube. She goes all through New York, lots of wonderful new musicians. Even has Asa, you can see him on her show there. And with me on Thursday evenings for Cosmic Comedy Radio Show, where Asa often comes as a guest. And Asa Hoffman.
Asa's episode is going to be up this week, so you can definitely check him out by the end of the
wonderful.
Week.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yes.
And Asa Hoffman, psychic extraordinaire and healer and life coach. Asa, thanks a million for coming on. We'll do it next Monday. I look forward to it, both of y'all. This has been, I do my little runoff now, this has been Here Be Monsters. We're part of a drumline of radio activists on air supporting Occupy in worldwide cities at this time, and we're on every damn day there's an Occupy in the good old world. This is an official boycott of the MSM media. We're bringing knowledge to the social consciousness. And thank you for listening today. Much appreciated. Thanks to Dusty for stopping by, and Michael is in there. I see Michael Hugh from Random Thoughts over at Blogspot. Thank you for coming by. And of course, Brian Smith and all the guests who've come in. I am going to play us off with, and please remember that this Thursday evening, Nicole and I have Vila Spider Hawk as our guest on Cosmic Comedy Radio. I won't be here tomorrow. Dusty Taylor will, with her left wing nut job version of Here Be Monsters, which is a gas. Come and listen to Dusty. Get it right, get it down, get it doing, all of that stuff. I'm going to once again leave with a little thought from our good friend Cherie Foytlin from down here in the Gulf Coast region. She's a mom of six, a full-time activist, and, hey, my hero.
One thing that I think is important is democracy. What's the number one thing, the number one person that I can get information to and change this and make this better? And at that time, I actually thought it was the President of the United States. I believe that if I, as an American citizen, as a voting person who have always done the right thing, always worked, always took care of my kids, I pay my taxes, I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, that if I called out to the President of the United States in earnest, that he would hear me. So I called out to him on CNN.
I'm asking you, sir, as a patriot and as an honorable person, to come and hear our stories and hear the pain that we are in.
I needed to know at that point if my country and what I believed about my country was real, and I got my answer. It's not. It's not. We no longer are a free society. The corporations are the people. And we're under them. I have no voice. That was the lesson. What do you do if no one will hear you? You scream louder and louder and louder, and you stomp your feet, and nobody will still hear you? That's the most helpless feeling in the world. And that's what everybody in this whole situation has felt from the beginning. That's the tragedy of it. It's not just the fact that we lost our culture, we lost our livelihood, we lost endless amounts of wildlife. We lost our voice. In order to secure a future for our next generation, we are going to have to change the fight. Do it like Martin Luther King Jr. did, and understand that the rights of a human for clean air and clean water are equally as important as their civil rights. I will not, under any circumstances, let my baby grow up in a world where greed and money is more important than their life. I will not do it. And I don't care if nobody stands behind me. I don't care what happens. That president, that person, the Congress, I don't care what I have to do. They are going to hear us.
This has been Monday, October 23rd, and Here Be Monsters. We're signing off now. Hey, Nick, I'll see you on Thursday. I'll hear you on Thursday. I see you in there.
Very good. Thank you. This is wonderful, Gwen. Thanks for a great couple of hours.
next Monday, 4 p.m., be there, be square.
Very good. All right. Good night.
Bye-bye. And bye to all of you. Thank you for listening.